As usual, you have your sermon notes. If you take those out, please, you will notice on the back that all of the cross references that we'll be studying this morning are listed there for you in order for your help. I hope that you can follow along with me this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 22 this morning, Matthew chapter 22, starting from verse 34. Jesus' opponents have come to him, challenging him with three questions. This last question is a wonderful, wonderful question. This question that they asked Jesus is a question that we all should be asking. It's a powerful question. It's an important question. And before we stand and read the text today, before we do that, I have a question for you. Do you want to be an extreme Christian? Do you want to be an extreme Christian? Do you want to be on fire for the Lord? Do you want to rebel against the world and be a revolutionary for Jesus Christ? If you do, you need to listen to the question they asked Jesus, and you need to know his answer. The question is this: what is the greatest commandment? Will you stand with me as we read this morning's text? Matthew 22:34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them an expert in the law, testing him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Will you pray with me, please? This is an extremely important passage of Scripture. Keeping that in mind, would you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart, removing Satan's blinders from your eyes and make you good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Would you pray right now for the other people in this room that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes and make them good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And now would you please pray for me that I would preach this passage accurately and therefore powerfully. Gracious Father, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity. Now may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I am so glad that you're here today because I am so excited about this incredibly important passage. Let's take it section by section. Starting from verse 34 again. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Brothers and sisters, an expert in the law is someone who's an expert in the law of Moses or the whole Old Testament. Remember that the law of Moses is not only the basis for how we worship and serve God, it was also the basis for Israel's legal system. So an expert in the law in Jesus' day is both a spiritual leader and a legal expert. The Pharisees who have come to challenge Jesus would often debate amongst themselves what commandments were foundational and what commandments were less important. This was often a debate that they would have. What part of the law of Moses was foundational and what parts were still authoritative but less foundational? Watch what Jesus does. Jesus rescues the debate from meaningless human priorities and shows us what it means to be truly spiritual. Look at verse 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." We are to love God with our whole person. We are to love God with everything within us. When Jesus says, "Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind," he is not necessarily naming three different categories. To the 21st century mind, we hear three different categories. But in the mind of Jesus and in the mind of his audience, these are not necessarily three different things. Jesus is simply saying this: the greatest commandment is to love God with your whole person. To love God with your entire being. You see on your sermon notes that we've called this the one verse that says it all. And this verse, Trinity Baptist, applies to every possible life situation. People often ask, how does the Bible apply to my life? I want something that is applicable, something that I can use in my life. This is the verse. How should I manage my finances? Answer: love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. How can I save my marriage? How can I improve my marriage? Answer: love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. How can I raise my kids? How can I be a better parent? Answer: love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind? What college should I go to? What career should I choose? Answer, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Should I go out with this person? Should I date this person? Should I marry this person? Answer, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. How do I relate to people at work? How do I relate to people at school? How can I succeed socially in my context? Answer, love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. How can I do better at school? How can I succeed at work? Answer, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Should I buy this? Should I buy that? Where should I live? Should I get this house? Should I get this apartment? Answer, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. What should I do with my evening? When should I get up this morning? What should I do with my day off? What should I do with my weekend? What should I do with my summer break? Answer, love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. What should I do when I retire? Answer, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You see, brothers and sisters, there is no reason to lack direction in life. What should I do today? What should I do tomorrow? What should I do this week? What should I do this year? What should I do with my life? Answer, love God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. You see, Trinity Baptist Church, number one in your notes, God is the only one worthy to be loved totally and completely by you. God is the only one worthy to be loved totally and completely by you. There are endless reasons why that is true. I am going to do you and me a great disservice by naming only three. Number one, God is splendid and majestic and altogether lovely. Would you turn to Psalm 27? Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. People drive for days to see the Grand Canyon. People spend lots and lots of money to see Niagara Falls. I have seen both the Grand Canyon and Niagara Falls. People pay millions of dollars for a house with a view of the ocean. And Trinity Baptist, you and I both know that the majestic glorious beauty of the Lord far outshines the sun. God is far more majestic in glory and beauty than anything else in all creation. He is the only one worthy to be absolutely, limitlessly adored by you. Adored by you. My prayer for you and my prayer for me is that this is your prayer. That the one thing that you ask of God is that you may behold the beauty of Him. Because He is glorious and majestic. If you want a glimpse of that, read the Psalms. Read the Psalms. Every day, Trinity Baptist, every day, open up one psalm and fill your mind and heart with the wonders of our glorious, majestic, splendid, beautiful God. Number two, God is morally perfect. God is morally perfect. Please join me in Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk is very small. If you're struggling, start from the New Testament and work your way backwards five books, and you will be there. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12. O Lord, are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will not die. O Lord, you have appointed them to execute judgment. O Rock, you have ordained them to punish. Listen, Trinity Baptist, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? God is morally perfect. There is not one microscopic cell of evil in God. He is perfect goodness, perfect righteousness, perfect purity, perfect love. And because of that fact, He is the only one worthy to be completely and limitlessly adored by you. Number three, God is love. God is love. Would you please come with me to Psalm 86? Psalm 86. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call on you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call on you. Please join me in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 31. Romans 8, 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long? We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is perfect in beauty. God is perfect in holiness. And he is perfect in love. And because of that, he is absolutely and totally worthy to be completely adored by you. With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. The greatest commandment is to love God with your whole being. My question to you is this: do you want to obey this command? If you do, how? I have 3 points. How does God want us to love him? Number one, worship and serve him only. Worship and serve him only. Please join me in Deuteronomy chapter 13. If a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you will love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him, serve him, and hold fast to him. Turn to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew 6:24. Is a very important verse. By the way, some of you are new today, and I just want to encourage you, if you're having trouble keeping up, I've heard testimonies of people that said, Pastor, when I came to this church, I was so lost, but now I've been here for a while, and I can do those books of the Bible in my head, and I can just do it. So hang in there with me, and not only will you learn about Matthew 22, you'll learn your way around the whole Bible too. Matthew 6:24, very simple. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You and I have many temptations. God allows people and things into our life to compete with him. A boyfriend, a girlfriend, a job, recreation or hobbies, other friends, money, pleasure, popularity, goals and interests, family, spouse, children, or grandchildren. God will allow people and things into our life that will tempt us. Competitive people. You want to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. There's only one throne in your heart. One. And He has to be on it. And He's the only one that deserves to be there. You cannot serve two masters. By the way, God's fiercest competition for the throne of your heart is not your family, it's not your friends, it's not your possessions, it's you. Do you want to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? Love what God loves and hate what God hates. That is B. Love what God loves and hate what God hates. Please join me in Psalm 97. Psalm 97. Listen to this beautiful psalm. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame. Those who boast in idols worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Look at verse 10. Let those who love the Lord hate evil. The one who loves God loves all that is pure, all that is holy, and all that is morally right. The one who loves God hates all that is sinful, all that is evil, and all that is morally unclean. Give God your whole self. How do you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind? See, trust, and obey. Trust and obey. Please join me in 1 John chapter 5. Very, very clear verse of Scripture. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 3, very simple. This is love for God, to obey His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. Very simple. This is love for God, to obey His commands. The way we love God, brothers and sisters, is to obey Him. There is a psychological field of study that some of you are familiar with called love languages. The theory is that every person is different. We all receive love differently based on our love language. I'm going to say that again. According to the psychological theory, we all receive love differently based on our love language. There are five love languages: words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Those are the five. So if you want to love someone, say your spouse or your child, the efficient, powerful way to do it is to find out what their love language is. How do they understand that you love them? How do they receive love from you? Is it a word of affirmation? Is it quality time? Is it giving a gift? Is it physical touch? Or is it an act of service? Which one of those make them feel loved? You find it out and you love them that way. It's really a good theory. The question is this: why did I bring that up? What is God's love language? It is obedience. That's how he wants you to love him. Jesus told us the same thing about loving him. Would you please join me in John chapter 14? John 14, 15. John 14, 15. This is a simple phrase, just like the one we just read. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this: if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Watch this, Trinity Baptist. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. The way we love God is to obey him. So what is the next logical question? If you want to love God, you are here and you want to love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And we've talked about the three: worship and serve him only, love what God loves, hate what God hates, trust and obey him. The next logical question is this: what did he command? What did he command? And that takes us back to Matthew 22. I hope you're still there with me. Matthew 22. Let's read the text again. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, one of them an expert in the law, testing him with this question: Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. If to love God is to obey him, then what does he command? He commands that we love our neighbor as ourself. Jesus said the same thing. Come with me to John chapter 13, please. John chapter 13, verse 34. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If you read John 13, John 14, John 15, John 16, John 17, Jesus says over and over again, obey my commands, obey my commands, obey my commands. This is my command, love one another. The Apostle John says the same exact thing. Please join me in 1 John chapter 2. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. So how does God want us to love him? He wants us to obey. And here I've got a summary statement for you. Statement number 3 in your notes. How to love God. Here it is, Trinity. How to love God. Live a life of moral purity and sacrificial love. Live a life of moral purity and sacrificial love. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. Live a life of moral purity and sacrificial love. The question we must ask ourselves at this point is this: how do we love our neighbor? How do we do it? One word: give. This is one of the most important things about a church. I want Trinity Baptist Church to be a great church. Do you? A great church is not a great church because it has great music. We have great music, but that is not what will make us a great church. A great church is not a great church because they have great programs. A great children's program, a great youth program, a great young adult or college career program, great this, great that. That is not what makes a great church. We have great programs, but that is not what will make us a great church. A great church is not a great church because they have great preaching. That might be hard for you to swallow, but that is not what makes a great church. Amen. Thank you. But that is not what makes us a great church. Thank you. Great church is not a great church because it has great preaching. Look at number 4 in your notes. A church is a great church when the members sacrifice to meet each other's needs. That is what makes a church a great church. A great church is a great church not because of music, not because of programs, not because of preaching. A great church is a great church because they obey God. That is what makes a great church. This is the mark of a great church, and this is the mark of a mature Christian. This is what it means to be an extreme Christian. I asked you the question in the beginning, do you want to be an extreme Christian? An extreme Christian is marked by obedience. That is what it means to be an extreme Christian? An extreme Christian is a Christian that has truly denied themselves and loved one another. That is what it means. So here you are, Trinity Baptist. Number 5. Beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. Do you want to obey the whole passage? Jesus says, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. You want to obey the whole thing? Here it is. Find a Christian brother or sister that has a need and meet it. Find a Christian brother or sister that has a need and meet it. I've got great news for you. Everything we do is by God's grace. I know that's hard. I know it's challenging, but I know you can do it. Why do I know that? Let's close with Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you and you take them to heart, whether the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you've been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. Listen to this statement. Deuteronomy 36. The Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. I want you to pray, Trinity Baptist. I want you to pray that God would give you a heart that loves him totally. Will you pray with me right now? Heavenly Father, this is our desire. We want to be a great church. We want to be extreme Christians. So we pray that you would do whatever you need to do in our hearts. Work with your word. Work by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bring trials and tribulations. Whatever you need to do, we choose this day to be extreme Christians. So give us hearts that will love you totally. In Jesus' name, amen.